Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and with me today is our very special leading lady who I've known for a while and who is an amazing CEO and founder. I'm happy to introduce all of you to Delinda Forsythe. She is the CEO and founder of Innovative Commercial Environments, and today we're going to be talking with Delinda about how to know your why and how to invest in your company's legacy. So, Delinda, say hello to all of our listeners throughout the U.S.
Well, hi, this is Delinda Forsythe, and Michelle, thank you so much for inviting me on today. I haven't done this type of interview before on the radio, so it's going to be a really great learning experience, and I love to try new and different things that get me out of my comfort zone. So thank you so much for inviting me.
I love it. We always want to make you uncomfortable, and I'm totally joking when I say that, right? We don't want to, but I have to say, if you asked me to design a room or put a commercial environment, you know, for yummy colors and anything related to design, I would be in my uncomfortable zone. So we'll go with that and just welcome, because I know, you know, we were kind of talking a little bit before the show, and you have such a passion, you know, for supporting women and being an advocate, but I want to start with our topic, and that is, you know, you really are centered on know your why in business and how to invest in your company's legacy. So I want to start with you and saying, what does know your why mean? What is that to you, and why is that so important to you and your business and your future?
Well, I always say to understand the evolution or where you are now, you have to understand your past. And I actually started my company 10 years ago when my son got into Georgetown. I was a single mother. Georgetown was going to be a very, very expensive venture, and he had been in private school most of his schooling years. So it was just a continuation of a very expensive education. And it was a time when I thought, if he is going to reach his goals and his potential, he has got to have the ability to have the best education possible. He's a PhD candidate now at Cambridge University.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah, he was all about education, and he's done a lot of work, did a lot of internships with the United Nations, which, of course, were very expensive throughout the world, and he currently works with the United Nations as their director of research and data architecture for a nonprofit called the UNBlueNumber.org. So that was my inspiration. It was all about my son, and it wasn't really that I wanted to start a business. I was terrified of starting a business, and I don't think I could have done that if I wasn't, my back was up against the wall, and I just thought, I'm never going to be able to help him reach his goals. I'm already so far into debt. Now we're really going to go into debt. And was dating my now husband at the time, Tom, and I always say, behind every strong, empowered woman is an enlightened man, and I have to say, I always get a little teary, so I'm sorry about that. But
no, it's a pretty good perspective, absolutely.
He's just a great guy, and he really encouraged me to start the business. And he had a career at MetLife as a regional compliance director, and about a year and a half ago left that to come on board as our COO because we were growing so much. So that's you know, it kind of gives you some perspective that, for me, that next generation is really important. And right from the beginning, I just started hiring young women, and I'm going to say 90% of my staff are millennials under 30. And
oh, wow.
They're great. They're great to work with. They're very inspiring. And mentoring and sponsoring them, which there is a difference between mentoring and sponsoring, is just, you know, kind of the basis of the whole business, really.
I like that. And I want to come back on something because there are like 5,000 questions that came out of what you said. And one I want to come back to, and that is, you know, we got your why, obviously, strong with, you know, as a single mom and starting a business. What did you do before you started your business, Delinda? What was your corporate background or work background, or did you?
Yes, I was working at various furniture dealerships, and that's what I own and manage is a furniture dealership. And we represent about 500 lines of furniture. So we will plan the workspace, and we do hospitality, provide hospitality and office furniture. So we'll work on a hotel or a restaurant. We recently, this year, we won our first Caliber Award, which is a big award to win. It's out
Congratulations.
Of Los Angeles. Thank you. And it was for a nightclub. So we won our
Wow.
Gensler was the designer on that, and they brought us in as their furniture partner, and we won a Caliber together. So started that.
Now we have to say your award winning. Delinda is an award winning CEO and founder. You go with that. That's exciting.
Oh boy. Okay, all right, we'll go with that.
Yeah, I love it. But, you know, I want to paint a picture on something, and that, you know, when you were saying you started your business 10 years ago, it's like, so I'm working back the calendar, right, the years, and I'm thinking we're in 2016, so you started in 2006, and then, 2 years into your business venture, 2008 begins, which we all know was a turning point. What was that? I mean, explain that. What was that like if you're just 2 years into your business and all of a sudden the whole economic upheaval and, you know, the Great Recession now, as we've started to call it. What was that like in business at that time for you?
Yeah, that was really frightening because we are directly linked to growth. If you're not moving or expanding, you don't need furniture. So it hit our business very hard. The good thing about it is that we were only a two-year-old business, so our overhead was minimal, and I didn't have a lot of staff to lay off, and I didn't have a lot of expenses. I chose to not take a salary during you know, the first year. I think it was either 2008 or 2009, I had to forego my salary. And again, I had a great partner that was making a good income. So it was okay for me to, you know, to forego my salary. And I chose not to cut employees or to reduce their salary in any way, shape, or form. But there were only three of us. So, you know, it wasn't that bad. It was just my salary had to go. So over the recession was tough because, you know, it was depressing. You know, there wasn't a lot of work out there. And we had enough work to, you know, keep the lights on and keep the doors open. But it was a pretty rough time. And there wasn't a lot of excitement going on. It was emotionally very difficult. What I do like about the recession is it taught me some incredibly valuable skills because these cycles do repeat. So we plan now, especially with my husband on, because he's so amazing with financials. We do plan. We put money away. We do plan for that time when it hits again. So that was the greatest thing that came out of it, is that I'm prepared for the next one. I know what to expect. My business is, we have a lot of staff now. We have 14 people now, and we're in the most expensive real estate in San Diego in the Del Mar area. So our overhead's not low, yes. But that's a whole nother story why we chose that. But it's important for our brand, to build our brand, really. It's what we had to do.
Well, and I this is so fascinating to me. Just I don't think any of us that are either women in business, women owners, or let's just say we're women who work for a company where 2008, you know, going forward, didn't impact us, because everybody was impacted in some fashion, mm-hmm. you know. And I look on mm-hmm. it, and I've heard so many women owners and CEOs who will say, you know, what I've learned now is so much more the value of a dollar, you know, yes. the value of hardworking, good, loyal mm-hmm. employees, even though, and I know a lot yes. of women owners, Belinda, that, you know, it just, it killed them in their hearts to have to lay people off. And some companies, you know, collectively mm-hmm. reduce salaries and that, but sounds like for you, did you, besides, you know, really putting money away now for the future, I mean, what have you done post 2008? Because you were going up. So what is it that you've done, or would you put on a list of the things that have been really central to your success and growth since 2008?
You know, that is a great question, because I think you have to think out of the box. You have to get very creative. And I started a hospitality division team when I saw the advent of technology, and there's very little difference between work life and personal life. Those boundaries are so blurred. And when you go into these office environments now, such as a Google or an Apple, you see a real hospitality feel in those spaces. Mm. It's called, you know, it's amenitized is what they call it. It's highly amenitized with cafes and little collaborative areas, and to make it more homey is critical. So starting that hospitality division in 2013 gave us a whole new revenue stream. So it's not just offices. It's also hospitality, but bringing the hospitality furniture into the office environment started us on a path that we have fully embraced now. Is we're considered San Diego's most creative office furniture dealership. And
oh,
not
wow.
necessarily the biggest, not, you know, a lot of that, but creative. And that is a niche that we just keep, now that we know that that's our niche, we've really expanded that. Last year, I started a new company called Workshop. And Workshop is craft brewery-inspired office furniture. And again,
yes,
you're looking for
this.
Trends. I know, isn't that, I mean, you know, look at all the craft breweries we have here. And you
yeah.
look at, you know, where's your, again, that whole trend of thinking the office, work life, same thing. You know, you're working Sunday nights, you're on your laptop, you're working all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're coming into an office. The market's completely different now, but the number one driver now is attracting and retaining talent. So how are you going to distinguish your company as different? It's the environment that you're creating that is very collegiate and very embracing and very personal and warm. So you get that craft brewery feel going. There's kegerators in offices these days. It all is such a great vibe. And there's another trend I saw last year was live edge conference tables. And you have probably seen these tables in restaurants, and maybe you've seen them in offices, where the edge of the table has a very organic, raw, you know, like it just got cut down, the tree just got cut down. That's called live edge.
Oh, wow.
So we design and fabricate locally here in San Diego our own line of furniture, from the office furniture, the benching system, to the live edge, to any of that. So, again, bringing nature indoors, looking for those trends, bringing warmth into the office environment. And now we've got this niche. So now we have three niches. We have dealership, standard dealership. We have hospitality. And then we have this, we're a factory, we're a manufacturer, bringing in our own line of furniture, which we do hold a patent on, too, with our design called Work I-Beam. And that's a whole system. So that's what we
smart
have done.
Smart for you. That, well, it's amazing to make your own. But, you know, come something I'm intrigued with. I mean, first of all, the whole kind of like I call it the Google environment, right, where you can work, play, and interact and engage all in the same place. And I'm curious now, like when you work with the client, if these are kind of those trends. I mean, I came up from banking where it was like we were told as executives to not have anything personal in our office or on our workspaces, right? Mm. I mean, talk about how it's so different now. People make their own work environments very personal. And I'm curious, how do you, when you go into, let's say, a company and they bring you in, how do you interview them or find out what they're looking for and how you create, you know, through that kind of like creative way you might do it to put together the yummy space that they're looking for, right, and put their personality into it and their culture? How do you, can you describe some of that? How do you do that?
Yes, and you ask such great questions, Michelle. Thank you for these great questions because they're very inspiring. And there probably should be a formula, but I think that I don't necessarily have a formula. What I do is when I meet a customer, I want to see their existing space. I want to see how people interact. I want to talk to them. This is maybe how you're working now, but how would you really like to work? What's important to you? And colors, environment, an open benching solution that is very predominant right now where there are no panels, which is great because I've been in furniture for 30 years. You did ask me that, and I didn't answer it. But 20 years ago, I had 20 years of industry experience before I started my business. I think that's really smart to do that. I also had contacts in San Diego. So going back now to this open environment. So it's very open environment. When I started my career, it was, you know, 6x6, 6x8, 66, 68 inch panels, gray. It was horrible. You know, I mean, where's the collaboration? Where's the inspiration? Where's the fun? You know, you were put into a cubicle. Yeah, it was awful.
That's where I lived. Now, that's where I lived, man. Even as a management, I lived in a cubicle. It was like, but mine were taller, right, than some of the others, and it was like, it was insanity because they're such fun work environments now that I'm seeing that trend too, and it makes it really a delightful way to have a work environment.
It is, but it has to come from the management. So you ask those questions, you tour it, and you just can't put in a ping pong table or a bean bag and think you're collaborative and you're cool. The management has to say and feel, I want you to take breaks. I want you to go play ping pong. That's good. That's what we want you to do. It has to be management endorsed right from the beginning. So you have to kind of get management to buy in on that. Then you can't just have open cubicles. You have to have quiet spaces because not everybody works well in an open environment. There's a lot of introverts, so that if they need heads down work, they go into a collaborative space or a phone booth or a quiet room or just a more focused area out of the cubicle area, out of the workstation area, because they're not cubicles, out of the workstation area into these more private spaces. Could even be a kitchen. Or, you know, for that, it's different from where everybody is. So you can go do some more heads down work. And our best projects are when an interior designer is engaged, such as a Gensler or a Ware Malcolm or an ID Studios. You know, when you engage Majetti Elam, and there's so many of them that are phenomenal here in San Diego, when you work with the designer and you're a team, I always say, choose a team, get a construction manager, get a great contractor. Your broker is critical to find you the right space. Be part of this team. You're going to create something extraordinary and something very inspired. And we do believe that furniture is a major portion of that. And one of the reasons we do all this custom furniture is we want to incorporate the furniture into the architecture of the space. So if it's a project we just finished is Boxox, you know, 25-foot ceilings, and the beams are this cherry color, very open architecture. The floor is a combination of concrete and carpeting to help with the sound. And the work surfaces are this OSB, it's oscillated strand board. So they're very, almost like a plywood, very industrial looking work surfaces, but they're stained to match the beams. And then we've got our I-beam system that's very industrial, very authentic feeling. It fits the architecture of the space. A traditional desk would not work in there.
So here's, you know, because I imagine you come across this, and for all, you know, for our listeners that are women owners, I just want to kind of put the perspective that, you know, we have all kinds of clients we come across. One of my favorite clients are when they say money is no object, right? And I wish there were more of those. Then we have clients that have limited budget. I want more of those too. Then you have clients that are like, look, here's our budget. How do you work within, you know, I understand we all have champagne wishes, but if you have, no pun intended, but if you have a beer budget, how do you create that type of environment knowing that what they're looking for is maybe X, but they can only afford Y? You know, I've never understood that.
That's a great question too. I try to read a lot. Stephen Covey has started, one of his 7 principles is start with the end in mind. So I always say, so what is your budget? Let's say it's $10 a square foot, or it could be $25 a square foot. You establish that right off, and we also have a budgeting tool that we can put in the square foot of the space, how many offices they want, how many collaborative areas, conference rooms, reception areas, put all that in, and then it gives you a low, medium, high budget for what would fit in that space. So we use a budgeting tool, and we try to establish the budget right from the beginning, because with 500 lines of furniture as well as our custom, we can hit any budget, unless it's really truly IKEA, you know, or folding tables, we really can't help with that. But if they have $10 a square foot, we can create something that's fun and inspired and cool looking and unique. It doesn't have to be cheap furniture with no design aesthetic. So we always try to start with that budget.
I love that. You know, it's so funny to hear you and hear you talk about these work environments, because I don't know if you know, but I want you to know that your voice just lilts up when you start talking about these office environments. So it's almost as if, you know, I can't really see it, but I'm experiencing it with you just because of the energy that you're coming across with. So I want you to know you're very inspiring on that front, that way. So it's good. That's good. People should hire you. And, you know, I know we're on such limited time, Delinda, but if people want to reach you and they want to have and create those fun work environments, or you know, they maybe just have questions about how you do what you do, how can our listeners reach you? What would be the best ways you'd like to be communicated with, if you'll share with our listeners?
Probably email. So it's Delinda, D-E-L-I-N-D-A, at ICE, I-C-E-S-D for San Diego, ICESD.com. And then just send me an email. I try to read a lot. I try to be a workplace strategist expert. So I write that. I probably should blog, but who knows how to blog it. Well, I know, there are boomers that blog. I don't want to put us all in the same, but this
Hey,
boomer
I blog.
Does not blog.
I'm a boomer. I blog. I'm with you.
See, that's what
I blog
saying.
Too. We have to. We're told we have to now. That's why I do it.
But I love to write, so I'm happy to send any content that I have and ideas and share it. And you know, I one of the things I absolutely want to talk about, in because I know we have limited time, is culture, creating culture in your environment. And yes, our furniture creates an inspired culture, but it is really leadership. And I want to talk about leadership for just a minute. And when I said I try to read as much as I can, I really do. I've learned a lot from just reading, and people will say, oh, that's a great idea. It's like, well, I really got it from a book. It's not like it's, you know, I didn't invent that thought. And one of the books that I feel strongly about is What Makes a Leader Great. And this is about a legacy. That was our topic, and the to me, our legacy is all about replacing ourselves. That's what leadership is. We aren't successful leaders unless we have successors. And leadership isn't just in the work environment. We're leaders in our families, our churches, our neighborhood, our community. Leadership skills are critical to success in life. So what makes a leader great by Russ Crosson, C-R-O-S-S-O-N, is probably one of the best books I've ever read on leadership. And he talks all about, you know, either through death, retirement, termination, or job change, someday we're never going to be at the company we are now. So is our company going to die with us, or are we going to leave it to somebody? Or that's the legacy. And when I say I bring in a lot of young women, I'm building them to be leaders to lead this company when I'm no longer there. That's after, you know, I got through with raising my son and paying off his education. What inspires me now is all the young people that I have at my company. And early on, I think it was a year 8 or 9, I hired Elise Cooper, and her mother was a friend of mine, and her daughter was looking for a job. She's still going to college. And I brought Elise in, and she's just so inspiring to work with. And it's been terrific, because as I have my ebbs and flows, you know, I'm not always inspired and driving, and, you know, it's hard work. I mean, it's just, face it, it's hard work. So being able to see her growth, terrific. And I cannot tell people enough, if it's all about you, someday you're going to lose that energy and you're going to lose that drive. See, I get
that's pretty inspiring.
Up on this
stuff too. I love that, Delinda. And, you know, I love that. I know you said earlier you hired a lot of millennials. It's funny to me because,
yes.
I mean, I find I can learn a lot from millennials. I know a lot of people don't talk about that, but I've learned so much just on their perspective, how they have better balance than I ever did or ever will, you know, for work and life. And at the same time, what they know about pushing a button and everything online continues to just blow my mind. And I'm curious with you, because you're here, you're helping these millennial women, you know, which I think is great. I mean, what do you feel, how do you share with them how to be a leader? Do you do training, or do you just interact with them one-on-one? What do you find is, you know, kind of your tools and how you have your secret sauce to help these women become better leaders? What are you doing?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to be transparent and authentic. And if you come across like, I've got all the answers and I know everything, and sometimes women lead from that place, and it's a place of really weakness. I mean, weakness is good. You know, being weak and failing is good. And I tell them that is, you're not going to get any better if you're so afraid of failure, and you don't hide your mistakes. Be very transparent. Don't hide your weaknesses. Be transparent, because that's how you'll grow. And recently, I did not like public speaking at all. 2 years ago, I had one of the most horrific business experiences of my life. I was, you know, up for a really big opportunity contract, and I was so terrified. I actually forgot my name. You know,
that's
how bad it was. I joined Toastmasters 2 years ago. And then about a month or two ago, I invited my whole company to come in and, you know, hear me give a speech. And it was pretty horrific.
So cool.
I didn't do a great job, but I like them to see me failing, because that allows them to fail.
And I'm gonna bite back and go, you weren't failing. You're not failing.
Yes.
It's like I got goosebumps as well. It's all about learning. It's like it's lifelong learning. And look at you on the professional development. I mean, you found an area that, you know, needed to, you know, be improved for you and your future. And there you went and brought the team in. And I bet they were so, proud.
They loved
it. Can't believe you. Yeah, that's what's cool.
Yes.
I love what you were saying.
Yeah.
And I have to go back where I think of like Twitter, where it's like you've got followers and people you follow. And I'm thinking, you were talking about, you know, failures. And I go, yeah, I'd rather showcase all of my learning lessons, which I don't call as failures, mm-hmm. but they're learning lessons, and, you know, the wins versus yeah. learning lessons. And I think you can learn so much more, you know, by maybe things that miss the mark and how you can improve or change them up. I totally agree with you. And that's fascinating, how you're helping your staff and all that. I got a couple of final questions, and then we're on the downhill
okay.
slide. But, you know,
yep, yep.
I mean, what do you want your legacy to be? I'm really curious, because it's a great I mean, first of all, I love the topic. I could talk to you for hours. I'm just saying that. But when you think about your company's legacy and the legacy you're trying to build, can you share a little bit about what you want that to be for the future
yep.
and how you'll,
mm-hmm.
you know, leave your lasting mark, so to speak?
Well, it is about leading this great group of people that inspire me every day. Every day, I enjoy them so much. I'm surrounded by very creative, smart people. It's wonderful. And I always say, leading, it's not about you. It's about those that you lead. It's about valuing them more than yourself. And it's about growing these new, you know, this new group of leaders, especially women. You know, I think men have a lot of mentors and sponsors, but women, it's harder to find that women that really want to give back that much. And so that's really what the legacy is. It's just about these young people that I get to work with every day and preparing them for when I'm no longer at the company, which will happen.
Wow.
I mean, every company, the leaders
leave.
It
circles,
you know.
It circles right back to what you said, which is think, you know, start with the end in mind. You know, if you think about
yeah.
that and what you want to do to make your mark, I mean, I got goosebumps on that one thinking about it. And, you know, I do find so many women owners, they want to give back, and yet I don't think there's a woman out there, to all of our listeners. It's like, you know, I've never heard a woman say, I need more on my plate. I don't have enough to do. And so I know, you know, to package that all up with, we want to make money, you want a successful business, but that you've tied in the legacy part and that you want to give back, I think is amazing. So leave our listeners with this, Delinda, because we're almost done, and I just want to know what, I know what the legacy is, but share with our listeners kind of what, you know, is really kind of the future for you and ICE in the next year or 18 to 24 months. Like, what are your major, they call them BHAGs, but what are your big, hairy, audacious goals for the next one or 2 years?
Well, we're doing a lot of marketing and packaging our line of furniture and promoting it. Here in San Diego, we just started a major marketing push, creating a brochure, doing like a little mini movie or infomercial, if you will, with our client High Moon Studios, who is our biggest client to date for our workshop brand. And I'm just really excited about launching this new company that we started legally. I would say we started in April, and we've already done close to $600,000 in business. And so that's maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Business. It's, you know, you have to open the bank account and start, you know, the LLC and all that legal stuff. So we were selling the product last year and probably even the year before, but now it's its own company. Workshop is its own company with its own, you know, LLC. So launching Workshop, I think, is going to be just a huge home run for us, and it will give our company stability for, you know, generations almost, you know, because it's, everybody likes to buy locally, you know, wants to support local, and that's kind of the millennial thought. They want authentic, real locals, you know, that's important to them. And so I think that is going to be a strength of ours for many years to come, maybe not generations, but at least for the next 20 years.
I'm thinking on what we talked about, and here's how I'm going to end with this. It's like, I want to see, you know, not the beer and the craft breweries. I want to see the most beautiful wine office environment. That to me would be just almost like a winery and yet a work environment. Now, if you could do that, I've got a zillion dollars that I'm ready to write a check for you. Anyway, Glenda, thank you. Thank you for being our leading lady today. I always want to say thank you to our loyal listeners. We are growing on Women Lead Radio. You can download us on iTunes. We're available there. And we are here every single Monday morning at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 with different hosts. And so to all of our listeners, thank you, thank you. Glenda, thank you again for being our leading lady. And just one little note I always say, this is right in step with our conversation today, and that is, you know, if you are a professional woman, whether you own a business or you work for someone else, you know, take a moment and try to empower and support other women. So on that note, have a great weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, so say thank you to those veterans you know. We'll see you next week. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.